Celtic Wisdom, Treasures from Ireland by Cindy Thompson. Read to you by Cindy Thompson. Part 1. How the Ancient Irish Found the Christian Path. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. The Path from Slave to Saint. In the north of Ireland, in the 5th century, a royal clan lacked slaves, a bevy of boisterous raiders, who were promised cattle and choice goods such as gold and fine cloth, stood ready to answer the call. This gang of marauders patrolled the coast and inland rivers of Britain near modern-day Wales. When the opportunity presented itself, they snatched unsuspecting folks who had come to the shore or along the riverbanks to dig for clams or wash clothes. Such raids were common on both sides of the Irish Sea, resulting in terror as families were torn apart. Ireland's famous patron saint, Patrick, first arrived in Ireland in such a manner. An unanticipated consequence of these slave raids, however, was the exchange of cultures and religions. Christians lived in Ireland prior to Patrick's kidnapping, probably having come from Britain or continental Europe. Some natives, influenced by the cultural exchange, may have come to the religion because of it. However it happened, Christians did exist in Ireland at that time, for there would be no other reason Pope Celestine would have sent Palladius to Ireland as the island's first bishop in 431. His mission would have been to attend to a body of believers. St. Prosper of Aquitaine, a contemporary, recorded this event. Palladius stayed in Ireland a short time, founding only 3 small churches. Decades earlier, Patrick escaped his captors after 6 long years of tending sheep and returned to his home. During his captivity, he remembered his Christian upbringing and prayed constantly. In the years that followed, he devoted himself to God and to the church. One night, he dreamed the Irish were calling to him and bidding him to return. He did return shortly after Palladius left, according to most scholars. Patrick ministered not to the transplanted Christians, but to the native Irish. The fact that this had not been done earlier might explain why Christianity had not taken hold under Palladius and others. It was not until after Patrick arrived for the second time as a missionary to the island that the fire of Christianity began to burn brightly. Shining light on the path. The symbolism of the shamrock helps illustrate how Patrick related Christianity to the beliefs the pagan Irish already had. The native Irish had a particular reverence for triads, groups of 3 connected people or things. In fact, anything spoken of or explained in 3 ways signified its importance. Legend says that Patrick used the ubiquitous shamrock to help explain the triune God. 1 plant, 3 leaves, 1 God, 3 persons. There is no evidence of this, and because of their reverence for triads, the culture would have accepted the idea quite readily anyway. But the story does illustrate how willingly the native Irish accepted the Christian faith. Many aspects of Christianity were not big leaps for the pagan Irish. Just as they accepted the idea of the Trinity, it was not difficult for them to move from worshiping creation and many gods to worshiping the Creator and the one true God. Triads were recorded with the advent of written language in Ireland and can be found in some of its earliest records, such as the Yellow Book of Lecan, a medieval manuscript written sometime in the late 14th century. But undoubtedly, they were handed down orally from even earlier times. Some examples. 3 candles that illumine every darkness, truth, nature, knowledge. 3 silences that are better than speech. Silence during instruction, silence during music, silence during preaching. 3 excellences of dress, elegance, comfort, lastingness. 3 clouds that most obscure wisdom's glance, forgetfulness, half knowledge, ignorance. The triad took on new importance in the light of Christianity. The blessing of three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, was a natural fit. St. Brendan, one of those who later followed Patrick's path, is said to have repeated this triad, taught to him by his foster mother, Ida. There are three things beloved by God: true faith, simplicity, and charity. And conversely, three things God despises: being cross, doing wrong, and the love of money. There are many Irish triads that reflect Christian values, such as, there are three ways to love: with the heart, with the mind, and with the soul. The faith spread slowly but steadily, gaining momentum in the 6th century with the age of monasticism. And as it grew and matured, it spawned some of Christianity's most respected and cherished individuals. How all this occurred in the span of just a few hundred years is perhaps one of history's mysteries. While some Christians held powerful positions, such as Columbkill, a member of the powerful O'Neill clan, others were mere scribes and poor missionaries, a testament to how God used the ordinary to achieve the extraordinary. History reveals that the Emerald Isle was a place where Christianity was able to escape annihilation during what has been called the Dark Ages, which lasted from the 5th to the 11th century. The era in Ireland was referred to as the Golden Age of Christianity, a remarkable time that is romantically portrayed in the saying, Ireland, it's the one place on earth that heaven has kissed with melody and mirth, meadow and mist. Ireland, through her tradition of scholarship, her devotion to a form of Christianity that did not depend on Rome's leadership, Rome had fallen by that time, and her very location, a remote island thought to literally be at the end of the earth, was just the place to preserve the faith. There, beyond the reaches of Roman and barbaric invasions, and in spite of the later Nordic terrors, a religion that was losing its hold in many parts of Europe found sanctuary. But the Irish people were not content to keep the faith ensconced in the stone cells of far-flung monasteries. They took what they had been blessed with and spread it throughout the island and to the European continent, not with the might of swords, as would occur later in Europe during the Crusades, not even with oratory or priest-led celebratory masses. While these things may have taken place in some form, there was a different focus in Ireland. The Irish Christians added their wisdom to the melody and mirth of the common people who longed to be closer to the giver of life. The Druidic system, prevalent in ancient Ireland, known for its secretiveness, may have been losing favor by the time Christianity emerged. Christianity, by contrast, was open to all, and all were invited to learn its truths. Free from the invading warfare Europe was enduring, Ireland was uniquely positioned to nourish the new religion, just at the time that writing was emerging there. Utilizing the concept of an anamkara, what today would be called an accountability partner or a confessor, the early Irish Christians worked shoulder to shoulder with the common people and passed on their wisdom in stories and sayings. Patrick and the early Celtic Christians spread their faith throughout Ireland. As the centuries forged onward, their legacy blessed many more people than Patrick could have ever imagined when he wrote, without regard to danger, I make known God's gift and the eternal comfort he provides, that I spread God's name everywhere dutifully and without fear, so that after my death I may leave a legacy to so many thousands of people. From Patrick's Confession.